All right, sun is out, which means life is good. Dave Plyer back with you here on 720 WGN. Lauren Majera, hello.
Oh, hi, Dave. How are you?
I am good. All right, let's play the game. Where is Lauren Majera?
Spin the globe, put your finger down. There's a good chance I'm there. I am very far north. I am in a mountain town of the Chugach Mountains, a town called Girdwood in Alaska.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. See, so I don't know if people know this, but you spent a lot of time there, college there, start of your career there, way back when, right?
Yep. I moved up because I had a gymnastics scholarship to the University of Alaska Anchorage. So 4 years at UAA, got my degree in broadcast journalism. And then, yeah, I did start my sports broadcasting career here in Alaska. But, I mean, let's be honest, sports broadcasting in Alaska is dog sled races and ice fishing tournaments right. And snowmobile races and downhill skiing. So I got a very unique start to my career.
Yeah, but you really got to...
I lived here for a total of 8 years, so I've got a great network, great friends.
Oh, wow.
You know, this state has its hooks in me, so I feel like I left a piece of my heart here, so I always like to come back and see my friends and, you know, enjoy the crisp mountain air, because I'm telling you, Dave, I was in Chicago earlier this week. It's 106 degrees.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I don't know how you guys survived that. I was like, I got to get out of here.
It was boiling. I know, but you know what? I thought about this because you've talked about Alaska in that way before. It does feel like when you land, there's just a huge amount of comfort because that's a second home, really, for you.
Truly. And it's so weird because whenever I'm boarding the plane, I get this feeling of I'm going home. And I feel the same way when I board the flight in Anchorage to go to Chicago, because Chicago is my home. It's right. Where I'm from. But I also have a home here.
Just like you love Green Bay.
I think a lot of people can probably relate to something like that. You know, when you ask them where they're from, they say, well, I'm from so-and-so, but home is blank, you know?
Yeah. I lived in Minneapolis for a while. I lived in New York for a while. I loved both. Absolutely loved both. Great friendships, relationships. For some reason, I like just from the temperature and everything else. I actually enjoyed Minnesota for that reason.
Minnesota's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really not that far, and you get the wilderness up there. And speaking of crisp air.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, let me ask you, what's the first thing you do on the ground
sports.
There? Yeah. Yeah. What do you do on the ground there? First thing you're going to do, where do you beeline it? Like, is it a restaurant? Is it a bar? What is the place that you're like, you got to hit? That's the first thing on your list.
Always go straight from the airport, straight to, it's like a bar restaurant called F Street. We got a crab sandwich, halibut chunks, you know, straight for the seafood.
Wow, nice. Nice.
And then I go straight to the mountains up north, and I did a hike. I mean, if you see my Instagram story, you can just see how incredible the mountains are. And the sun has been out. And it's just been so beautiful. I just got back from a hike a little bit ago in the Chugach Mountains here, right behind Alyeska Ski Resort. And, I mean, it truly feels like a Star Wars ship landed and, like, you're on another planet. It's insane. It feels like some Narnian forest, and then there's glacial-fed, you know, crystal blue rivers and waterfalls. And the air is so fragrant. It's not just fresh. It's fragrant of moss and pine and lilacs and just, like, you can feel the breeze off the glacial-fed water. It's so stunning.
I was going to say, you really hate this place.
Yeah. A lot of that would make me come here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, what time does the sun go down?
Down is very relative.
Yeah, right.
Sort of sets and rises back to back. So you get like dusk and twilight.
Wow.
At the same time, sort of.
Yeah.
So midnight, if you stay up till midnight, you can see the sun set and rise back to back.
Yeah.
Summer solstice is the 21st. That's the longest day of the season.
Right.
And so how it works is people think it's like a light switch, like the sun's up and then the sun's always down in the winter. What happens is June 21st is the summer solstice. That is the longest day of the year. And then you gradually lose about 12 minutes of daylight a day-ish.
Yeah.
Well, 5 to 12 minutes of daylight a day all the way until December 21st, which is the shortest day of the year. And then you start gradually gaining, you know, a few minutes of daylight every single day. And it happens so quickly. Let's say you go on a week or two vacation. You come back. The sun is setting or rising in like a whole hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Differently than when you left.
Yeah.
When you, every day you don't really notice it, but a week or two goes by, you're like, oh my gosh, it's 8 o'clock and the sun's still up.
Yeah, I'm going to relish this week. I got to tell you, because you're right. It's Tuesday, first day of summer. Here are the top three stories in Anchorage. You ready?
Okay.
Students at a Juneau summer school program were served a chemical floor sealant instead of milk. What the hell? That's real. I mean, 12 children and two adults drank the sealant in the incident. Like, I thought this was a joke. It's like, how do you mix up milk and floor sealant? These people should be in prison.
Can't you smell it as you're raising it to your mouth?
These poor kids. Oh, my God. I mean, somebody's got to...
That's horrible.
Somebody's got to be in big trouble for this. All right. New wave of... Is it Kenai Peninsula?
Kenai
Peninsula fishery closures take effect. State officials said that the king salmon runs are not showing signs of improvement and that conservative measures are needed to ensure future fishing opportunities. So this is what you'd be reporting.
Yep, that is a really big deal because, I mean, a lot of the argument within the state of Alaska is that there's over-commercial fishing in the oceans, which means it stops production of the fish in the rivers, which affects not only local fishermen, but also businesses that are fishing guides who their businesses are based on fishing for king salmon in the river. It's a huge controversial issue because obviously fishing and oil and gas are the biggest resources of the state.
Yeah, yeah, no question. Top story of in sports, Anchorage's Dylan Maltby helps hometown Bucks to shut out win over rival Glacier Pilots.
That's the local Alaska Baseball League team.
Your top story.
They cover those games. Yeah. It's called the Alaska Baseball League. It's you know, like where college kids will go play in a league in the summer. But the Alaska Baseball League is super fun because this weekend they'll have a tournament called the Tournament of the Midnight Sun. And they'll play all night games with no light because they're under the midnight sun.
Oh, that's cool. I love that. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, let's pivot back to Chicago. Just a brief on the Cubs. They won today and broke their 10-game losing streak, which also broke the Braves' 10-game winning streak. But, you know, football's in the air. So what did we learn from the Bears mini camp this week?
You know what? It is mandatory mini camp. It's difficult to say that we really can put anything on paper. But there are some few things that we can pick up, and one is that you can expect some growing pains in this offense. There was, you know, it didn't look solid, as it should not. You know, Matt Eberflus said that, you know, it's his first training camp, but he had a very good message to give to the guys. Mm-hmm. So they wrapped camp on Thursday, and Eberflus said that training camp isn't to get in shape, you show up in shape. You know, he wants everyone to get their track shoes on. And he said, I want you guys to be running, staying safe, getting in shape. You should be ready to go for training camp because we're blowing and going from day one. That was his quote. He said that was my main message to them. You know, obviously, Bears rookie's going to come back to Halifax on July 23rd. Veterans returning on the 26th. They've got some time. And that's one thing that we always ask a head coach the first couple of days of training camp is how good a shape do your guys look? And that's another way that coaches can tell how much professionalism they can rely on their players is who showed up in shape. That's a really big deal. It shows who came prepared. You know, Fields was honest after day one in training camp, saying the offense had a long way to go. I love an honest Justin Fields that he can say that. But there's also a lot of time to be ready for week one. You know, it's not surprising that Fields and the offense are still working through a couple things. We have to keep in mind, this is a new system, a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator.
Right.
So they really, the main thing with the offense is they're trying to figure out the offensive line combination that works. You know, they're kind of mixing and matching. You know, they're evenly split first team reps between their two alignment shuffling, Larry Borum and Tevin Jenkins at tackle. One thing, you know, well, of course, Lucas Patrick at center and Cody Whitehair left guard appears to be set, but those three spots are massive question marks as the Bears, you know, as they head toward training camp. But here's the thing. I think one of the biggest things that we can take away from this training camp is Robert Quinn's absence. Obviously, there's a lot of speculation around that. And I think the offensive line directly is impacted by Quinn's absence because it's felt on the other side of the ball. No matter who the two starting tackles are, having a top-level edge rusher in Robert Quinn to go against in practice is going to be a huge help for this young tackle group. You know, facing off against Quinn, it would provide so much value for Jones, Borum, Jenkins. So that's a direct hit on the offensive line that already is a disadvantage.
I like the old school thing.
But the main thing I think we can take away is, again, mandatory training camp. You can't even really take that much away from training camp, but is that there's going to be growing pains in this offense. And I think fans really need to show the Bears grace. And this is a new head coach, a lot of new coordinators, a new GM, and a new system.
Yeah, no question. And they did honor Brian Piccolo, who died 52 years ago. They all wore number one in honor of him, which was very cool. All right, we're going to pivot a little bit when we come back from the break.
From Brian's song, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Yep. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk a little bit about summer tradition since next Tuesday is the first day of summer. What are the traditions, rites of passage, things you like to do, events you like to go to that you kind of do every year? Like, we got to hit this before the end of the summer. I want to hear from you. We'll tell you what we think, but you can call or text 312-981-7200. What summer events, things to do that you like to do and that are kind of placeholders throughout the summer? 312-981-7200. We'll do that next here on 720 WGN. All right, Dave Plyer back with you here on 720 WGN. First day of summer is next week, and we're talking about, like, what is your typical bucket list for the summer? Lauren, we'll start with you. What's like the rites of passage, the things that you have to check off your list every summer?
Mine are pretty basic. I always go to a Cubs game. I always go to a White Sox game. And nobody call in screaming and yelling that I go to both, okay? Yes, I'm from the north side, but you Southsiders cannot keep me out of your gorgeous park that smells like delicious cinnamon churros. Okay. So I do go to both.
Okay.
But obviously, architecture tour on the river for sure.
Yes.
Beach day on Lake Michigan. Divvy on the lake path. I'm usually in a summer league, like a beach volleyball league, a kickball league. Those are like no-brainers for me.
Someone just texted in, Amy in Milwaukee, walk along the lakefront as much as humanly possible. The Skokie 4th of July parade, that's from 847. Is that Roger Badish calling in on that one?
You know what? I made sure I did almost everything on my bucket list before I left town, but the fireworks. Like, how cool is it that we have a fireworks show every Sunday and every Wednesday? Like, that's awesome.
That's a cool thing.
Make the time to go a couple of times.
Yeah.
They're so good, too.
You need to have the experience of being where they launch the fireworks at least once in life. Okay. I've had that one. No. I mean, when they have a fireworks show and it's in a park, and you are right on top of where they are firing them off. That's experience.
Terrifying. Yeah.
I got,
you know what?
It's not terrifying.
Sure
it does smell weird after a while, but it's not terrifying.
I had to get my fireworks fixed in before I came to Alaska because obviously, you know, the next time I'll see the fireworks is the 4th of July. But people don't think of it because the sun stays up at night. The fireworks, you can't really see that well.
Can't see it. Yeah, I was going to say 708. I got to hit Ravinia once or twice. 612.
Oh, Ravinia for sure. I saw the lineup looks pretty good this year.
612, fishing with my kids and grandkids. 773, air and water show. I like hitting as many Chicago rooftops as I can because that's the time, of course, to do that. But I'd like to head up north.
You know what, Dave? You are a veteran at this. Like,
I am.
You taught me this last summer, and I'll never forget this. So I'm going to share your trick with the viewers.
Oh.
I'm sorry, our listeners. You, in the beginning of the summer, make a ton of reservations in the most difficult places to get into.
Yeah.
And then you put them in your calendar, and then as the week approaches, you already have the reservation.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I cancel them when I don't use them.
Like 3 days before if you can't make it, but it's like, at least you have a summer's worth of reservations in the best, most difficult spots to get in. That is brilliant.
Or you just cheat a little bit. You watch the air show on Friday when they're rehearsing.
You could do that too, but I just like the vibes of the rooftops downtown. I mean, that is absolutely, on a nice night where it's 78, 82 degrees, that's the best place to be in the city.
I know, the best.
Yeah, no question.
What's your favorite rooftop in the city?
Oh, I would. Wow, I would have to say I like London House. I
mean,
yeah, and Terrace 16, right? Yeah, that's a.
Don't you want to be farther up Lake, a little farther up Lakeshore Drive,
no.
away from all of the high rises where you get a better view?
Terrace 16, which is in Trump Tower, so set your politics aside for a second. You are getting the best views of the
is
most
that the
beautiful.
One that, that's the one that faces east.
Yes, and so you're seeing the Wrigley Building
you're talking
like,
about.
In front of you, like right in front of you.
I know where you, I know where you are in the building. Yeah,
yeah,
it's yeah. Absolutely. London House is equally as good, though. I think.
Yeah, I do too. Because you're getting a different view down the river. My daughter's at Summer Smash this weekend. Post Malone, Wiz Khalifa, dad of a teenage daughter. Just
you, poor man.
I was gonna say, who is her chaperone?
Oh, she's got. There's
I've
one.
I know how beautiful she is.
There's one brave dad and seven or eight are for friends. So God bless
oh,
him.
Oh, that poor man.
Yeah, I know.
God, you owe him now. Big.
I do.
You'll never survive.
I do. All right, we got to fly already. Lauren Maggiore, always a pleasure, and enjoy yourself out there. It's early there. Like, you got some time to relax. You got a whole
it's
night ahead of you.
4:30. It's not even happy hour.
It's true. It's true. Enjoy yourself out there. We'll talk next week.
All right. Thanks so much. Talk soon.
Okay. Take care. All right. News is next.